We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Pretty funny. Saw something on my Twitter just now. At Mark Crotty Sports, saying something to the effect of a pro day? As if you guys are talking about a pro day? That's what we're bringing. You're damn right. You're damn right. That's what's been happening all day here at The Score. We are talking about a pro day, a very important pro day for Caleb Williams, the probable quarterback of the future for the Chicago Bears like no other. But I totally get it. I mean, I do understand. It's great. It's amazing that the NFL, the way it has branched out and has made significant so many things, this is just another one of their many masterpieces. As much as you love or hate the NFL and some of the things that it does, there's so much you just love and eat up, and that's why we could talk about it, because I'm into it and you're into it. We're all into it. I mean, really, the draft, the fact that it exists in its form is an amazing accomplishment. It really is. So, yes, we are and have been and will continue to talk about the Caleb Williams Pro Day. A brief reprieve from it here in just a second. And then at 8:25 later on, we're going to hear from Antonio Morales, who covers USC for The Athletic. So he knows the man, knows all things Caleb Williams, and we'll hear from Caleb Williams as the show goes on. Right now, we are going to take, though, a healthy break from some of that to talk to an old friend of the program, Jim Nagy, the executive producer of the Reese's Senior Bowl, 18-year NFL scout. Jim, welcome back to The Score. Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, Mark, thanks for having me back on.
Absolutely. And I was just kind of looking back, refreshing my memory from last year's Senior Bowl and some of our conversation. And I remember talking to you a little bit about Roschon Johnson as T became a Bear, of course, and did definitely impress the powers that be. Sidney Brown, the safety out of Illinois, just a couple of names. But before we get into this year's crop of players, what stood out to you, or what has stood out to you in terms of impact players in the NFL this year as rookies that played in the Senior Bowl that may have impressed you, or guys that maybe you didn't see come and making impacts?
Well, two of your guys that Ryan Poles really hit on, one being Darnell Wright, who I believe made a bunch of those all-rookie teams, and then Tyreek Stevenson at corner. Mm-hmm. I think that's two major hits for Ryan Poles at premium positions, right? I mean, right now, I mean, it used to be back in the day where left tackle was, at least viewed more important than right tackle. I don't think we're at that place anymore. You talk to coaches and guys around the league. I mean, everyone kind of sees it the same left and right. So you nailed the tackle, and you got a young corner that probably should have gotten, I don't know how many votes he got for defensive rookie of the year, but Tyreek Stevenson played lights out for you guys. Mm-hmm. Just talking to those Bears guys, we had a number of Bears coaches on our Senior Bowl staff this year. And again, I don't get to watch a ton of NFL in the fall because I'm so focused on the college season and getting the players for our game. But, that's been a nice thing about having the blended staffs that we have at the Senior Bowl now is We got, you know, I think we had 18 teams represented on our coaching staff. So just connecting with those guys and hear about the young guys on the roster that played well. And then obviously, you know, Coach Eberflus and Polsey and Ian Cunningham, all those guys were down at the game and got a chance to connect with those guys. So I think they were overall, they were pretty happy with that rookie class last year.
Yeah, I would say so. They're like, this is probably, we know the circles that the Bears hierarchy are hanging in right now as today, and that circle has Caleb Williams right in the middle. But of course, they have to look at this and go back to the proverbial well. So before I get into some maybe specific need areas for the Bears, just to get us cooking a little bit here, Jim, like what stood out to you about this year's Senior Bowl in terms of like who, you know, impressed?
Well, you know, I mean, and this is just feedback from the NFL teams. I just went to the combine a couple weeks ago to get feedback about our week from all the guys in the league. I don't really get a ton of opportunities during the week to connect with those guys and see how things are going. So that's why I always go to Indy to do that. And just from them, I mean, these were our best rosters we've had in a long time. And they should be. You know, we can bring juniors now. This was the first year that we can bring all underclassmen to the game. We've been able to bring juniors that graduate before the Senior Bowl to the game. This year we could bring any junior. And I think we ended up with like 18 or 19 of those guys. So, you know, the rosters are really good. I think we'll end up with anywhere between 10 and 12 first-round picks this year, which will be our high in about the last 5 or 6 years. I think we had 10 back in 2019. But, you know, the nice thing was that the guys that were projected first-rounders, a lot of those guys performed really well. Mm-hmm. And then guys that were, you know, maybe outside the top 50, like Braden Fisk, the defensive tackle from Florida State, you know, Darius Robinson, the defensive end from Missouri, Ricky Pearsall, Roman Wilson, receivers from Florida, Michigan. Those guys, you know, all kind of vaulted themselves up into the top 50 conversation. So, and there's other guys, Jackson Powers Johnson, the center from Oregon, yeah, probably worked himself into the first round. He nice. Probably was on the outside looking in before the Senior Bowl. So no, man, it's good to see those guys come down, take advantage of the opportunity and perform well and improve their draft stock. And then, you know, obviously they have to take it from Mobile to the combine and do a good job there too. And on the pro day circuit, but yeah, it was a really good year.
The Bears, they just got themselves a nice wide receiver in Keenan Allen, which has made a lot of people back off the Bears a little bit in terms of what they might do at 9. It had been, you know, Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers heavy at that spot. I still think that is plausible, but I'm just looking at some of the names here of the senior wide receivers, and one of the guys that caught my attention because he was prominent today, as a matter of fact, is Brendan Rice, the USC wide receiver. I believe he is the son of the great Jerry Rice. But where does he slot in? Because I just think about him in terms of the Bears and if they go depth wide receiver and somebody that might be comfortable with Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and it makes sense because those two guys have a really good rapport. Like when anyone, and I'm sure Bears fans have dove into the YouTube highlights of Caleb at this point. And a lot of work he does is off script where he's kind of running around and making things happen. And the guy that he's on the same page with consistently is Brendan Rice. And that's a really cool chemistry to have. So I think Brendan's probably going to go late third to probably middle of the fourth.
Okay.
In that range. So yeah. And they need depth at receiver. You know, you look at, they've had some upgrades. Keenan Allen's great. It's going to be great to add a vet. And a guy that knows how to get open. He's been that guy since college. But you know, they do need some depth. So yeah, Brendan would probably be a nice option for him. If they don't address it early, I'd love to see him get Roma Dunze. He was our number one rated receiver. It's cool that it's played out where he's, you know, could be a, you know, top five, top 10 pick. But his junior tape was just as good as his senior tape. That dude's a stud.
All right. Tell me more about that. So just so we're clear here, Roma Dunze, your top wide receiver of all of these guys, like better than Malik Nabers, better than Marvin Harrison Jr., at least in your rankings?
Well, for going back to last summer, we only thought we could bring in the seniors, right? And then the NFL ruled in the first week in November that they opened it up to all these underclassmen. So that opened us up to Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers and all those guys. I knew it was going to be far-fetched to try to get Marvin Harrison Jr. in the Senior Bowl. Didn't even spend a lot of time watching him. I mean, he's pretty easy guy to do when you watch him. But the thing about Rome that I'll say is, you know, he's for a bigger guy, he's a really good route runner, and he's good with the ball in his hands. You don't see a lot of guys, 6'2", 6'3"-ish type guys that can return punts, and he can legit do it. He can make people miss at that size, which is hard to do. And the thing I loved about him, it's a little thing, but, you know, us scouts, we got caught up on little things sometimes. Like when you look at some of those receivers, like, and again, I'm not throwing stones at anyone. These guys get to do whatever they want to do nowadays. But like Marvin Harrison Jr. left the combine. Malik Nabers didn't do anything at the combine. Whereas Rome Odunze was down there. And I think, you know, one of the on-air people for the NFL Network kind of chronicled this as it was happening. But like he had a time in his mind for the three cone drill, which is a drill at the end of the workout. They've already run their 40. They've done all the position drills. Most of the wide receivers didn't even do the three cone drill because they were already so tired. Rome Odunze had a time in his mind, like 6'5", 6'6", and he stayed down there and he took 7 or 8 tries at it just to try to get the time he wanted to get.
Wow.
Just being hyper competitive. Like, I want that guy.
Yeah.
I want that guy that's like goal oriented and, you know, stays on the field, and he didn't care how it looked. Like, he didn't care that people were, you know, sitting around Lucas Oil Stadium, like watching him do this drill over and over and over again. Like, so to me, I'd rather have that guy than the guy that just kind of packs his bag and leaves. You know, all things being equal, you know, if you watch the tape and you think they're pretty much the same player, give me the guy that's wired like that.
Totally, man. I mean, and just for the hell of it, I don't know if you were at the combine, but Odunze, great dude too. Like, he entertained the crowd. I don't know how far that stuff goes, or maybe you could add a layer on that, Jim, in terms of personality and that kind of part, or is it just a lot more bare bones? Can the guy play football or not?
No, I mean, I think there's something to it. When, I mean, again, yeah, I was at the combine. I didn't stop by the media too much. I did some media stuff myself, but I didn't sit and watch the guys do their interviews. But yeah, I think there's something to that. You know, I mean, it doesn't make a football player, but, you know, the fact that he could get up and kind of hold court says that he's got some presence, that, you know, he might end up having a leader in the room at some point over his career. And again, I'll say this, like, you know, working at the Senior Bowl, it's not like working for a team. We're not, you know, we've got scouts at games every Saturday, and we've tried to build this thing out, you know, as best we can, as close to an NFL operation as we can. But we don't have the budget to be at a school every day. So,
right.
Like, some of the character stuff I don't know about.
Gotcha.
And I was at the Alabama Pro Day today. Chris Morgan, the Bears offensive line coach, was there working out J.C. Latham. But I got talking to Alabama's new receivers coach, who came from Washington. And, you know, we talked about Rome Odunze and Jalen McMillan and Jalen Polk. Like, he had the best room in America this year. Those three receivers, I mean, they're all going to go in the top 100. And so we went over all those guys. I'd never met him before. Great guy. And he just was talking about all three guys. And it sounds like, you know, Rome, you can watch the tape and know he's a great player. But just listening now, you know, kind of how the guy's wired, he seems like a guy that's not going to, you know, you're not going to miss on him. You know, like, he's just wired the right way. He's very competitive, loves to practice, loves football.
Yeah. Yep.
Like those guys usually don't miss.
Yeah. So Chris Morgan was working out J.C. Latham today, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Really good workout too. You know, J.C. had a high ankle sprain, really like the last play of the Michigan game, Alabama's last game of the season. So he couldn't play in the Senior Bowl. His agent wanted him to. But he wasn't healthy enough, and he didn't run. He didn't. I mean, he just did position drills, and he looked really good. he looked really good. He looked like a guy that could. I mean, he's a really impressive looking guy. And he looked like he could play guard. He looked like he could play tackle. I know, probably looking at your depth chart up there in Chicago, your biggest immediate need is probably center. You know, I think Braxton Jones, who probably earned a year three at left tackle, and like we said, Darnell played really good on the right side, but no, Latham's a stud, man. His best football's way ahead of him. He's a really talented guy.
Yeah, well, they did. Yeah, they've got some possibilities at the center spot the Bears do right now. I'm not sure. Like Coleman Shelton, actually. My brain was looking for the name. I couldn't even remember. Coleman Shelton is the guy that is penciled in right now to be the center, but it's obviously not out of the realm of possibility that they would look to upgrade there. One thing that I am wrestling with myself, Jim, and we're talking to Jim Nagy, executive producer of the Reese's Senior Bowl, 18-year NFL scout, is I am leaning towards the Bears should take an offensive player at number 9. I would love it if they could get Rome Odunze. I am on the same page with you right there. That would be at the sacrifice, though, at least in the first round, of another pass rusher, of an edge rusher, at least of getting the top guy, which you probably could get at number 9. So to that end, are there any guys in the draft beyond some of the names like Turner and Jared Verse and Chop Robinson that we might find at the defensive end position that could make an impact later in the draft when the Bears have picks in the 3rd and 4th rounds?
Yeah, I mean, the three guys you mentioned along with Leiatu Latu from UCLA, those guys will all go in the first. I mean, Chop will probably be close. He'll probably be fringy first round, but those other three guys will probably go somewhere in that, with that bear spot, number 9, somewhere through the teens. But if you're looking 3rd and 4th round, like a name I'll throw at you, a guy that had a really good Senior Bowl week, that could be there maybe in the 3rd. He's probably going to go, could probably go late 2nd, is right around the Lake Michigan shoreline from you a little bit over at Western Michigan. Marshawn Neyland is his name. Marshawn had opportunities to portal up and play in portal in Power 5 football this year, but he stayed in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And, he's 6'3". He's got really long arms. He's got heavy hands. He's kind of a power rusher. If we're just going to the combine stuff, he had the best 3-cone and short shuttle of any defensive lineman, which is a really cool number to look at when you're trying to project pass rushers. Just shows they can bend and change direction. So Marshawn is a guy that I think, even going into our process, when we selected the Senior Bowl roster, a lot of teams had 3rd-round grades on him then, and then he's just had a great process. That's why I'm saying he might be a 2 now.
Okay.
But if you get outside that first round and you're looking for, pass rush help on the edge, and a guy that can probably kick inside a little bit, he's 270 pounds. So he can go over there and be a mismatch on guards as well. I would say Marshawn Neyland's a name to write down.
Let me bounce back to the quarterbacks, just because the quarterbacks, I don't know that the Bears are going to be in on any of these guys, but somebody like of local interest, the Notre Dame kid, Sam Hartman, maybe we could start there in terms of what he might be able to bring or what he might be able to land for his NFL life.
Yeah, it's a good Sam came back to school and did that transfer to Notre Dame. No knock against Dave Clawson and the Wake Forest program and the offense. I mean, they do an unbelievable job. I mean, trust me, Wake Forest is not an easy place to win games, and Dave Clawson's won a lot of games, so not knocking him. But it is a hard offense to project quarterbacks out of. So for Sam to go to Notre Dame this year, kind of cleaned up the evaluation for the NFL teams. He's played a ton of football. I saw some stat the other day. He's thrown as great a quarterback class as this is, the leader in the clubhouse in this year's quarterback class for career touchdowns thrown is Sam Hartman. Mm. So he's played a ton of football. He's got great leadership. He throws a really catchable ball. He's accurate. And again, some of these things I'm talking about were things that you would have said about Brock Purdy when he was coming out, since 31 teams missed on Brock Purdy, we missed on him at the Senior Bowl. He was kind of our last QB on the outside looking in that year. You go back and you try to figure out why you missed on him. Like what didn't we see? What didn't we value enough? And a lot of it's just experience. Like Brock just knows how to play quarterback. And I think you can say the same thing for Sam. So he's a guy again, like going back to, we vet out these teams a lot. There's a lot of grade sharing and a lot of back and forth with NFL teams when we pick our Senior Bowl roster. And this is going all the way back to November, and Sam's done a lot of good things since then. But, it was like 5th and 6th round was a lot of the conversation back then. So, yeah, I think, when you get outside I think Spencer Rattler will probably be like the 7th guy. He'll probably go in the 2nd round. When you work down that line a little bit, like Sam could be a really cool guy that you bring in as a 3rd and develops into a 2, kind of similar to Tyson Bagent. I mean, I think Tyson surprised everybody last year to win the number 2 job in Chicago and go 2-2 as a starter. I mean, that's a heck of an undrafted rookie. I think somebody's going to draft Sam, and the hope that he's going to wrestle a number 2 job away from a vet.
What about Bo Nix? I feel like he's the kind of forgotten guy of when we bunch the quarterbacks together. It feels like it's the, you know, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and Caleb Williams, and then everybody else, unless you look at it differently right now. What's your look at Bo Nix of Oregon?
Yeah, I mean, I think those are the three guys, and those are pretty, you know, consensus top three. But Bo's a guy that, you know, again, 61 career starts, most starts in college football history. That's important. He's played in two different offenses. And I think the people that have just seen Bo, the Oregon version of Bo Nix, right? Like the knock right now. And I was with his quarterback's coach the other day, and another guy that's been working with him through the process is Phillip Rivers. He's actually been training down in Mobile where we have the Senior Bowl. And those guys have spent a lot of time with Bo, and you know, the knock you're hearing is doesn't have a huge arm and, you know, does everything from the pocket. And he's, you know, a lot of dink and dunk in the Oregon offense. Well, if you take the time and you're not lazy and just look at the Oregon stuff, if you go back and watch the Auburn version of Bo Nix, like you see this unbelievable athlete. They had a terrible offensive line. He's running around. He's doing a lot of what Caleb Williams had to do at USC the last couple of years. And made plays happen. He had some magic to him. I mean, the guy could literally run around and make a lot of stuff happen. And he didn't have to be that guy at Oregon. So we've seen like two different versions of Bo Nix. And I think the cool thing from an evaluation standpoint, like Bo got rid of a lot of bad habits. You know, like I said, that offensive line created a lot of bad habits, just with technique and decision-making. And Bo cleaned that up almost immediately when he went out west. So again, I think that he's probably thought more highly of in the league right now, like talking to teams at these pro days than maybe what you're reading in the media. I'm not saying he's going to be a top 10 pick. I think he'll probably go somewhere, you know, in the teens or 20s, but I do think he's going to be a first round draft pick.
Last thing I got to ask you is I don't know if you've broken down all of these top quarterbacks, but I have to ask you about Caleb Williams and what you have seen from him and how you look at him. And is he your top quarterback going into this draft?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't spent a ton of time on those top three guys. I spent a lot of time on Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
He's a guy, I mean, shoot, I went over to Baton Rouge and gave him his invite. It was on SportsCenter and everything for the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
We didn't get that done. Unfortunately, that was, we didn't get him to Mobile, but no, Caleb, I again, doing Marshawn Lloyd, the running back there at USC, and Brennan Rice, who you brought up. They had a couple other receivers that we didn't invite to the Senior Bowl, but are good players. I've seen a ton of tape. I think what's getting lost, you know, I mean, you can talk highly about a lot of skill set when it comes to Caleb, but I think the thing that's getting lost is what a good athlete this kid is. Like he can run. Like he is a true run threat. He's not just, if you run read option with him, this guy can hurt you with his legs. Now, it's not, you know, it's not real dynamic looking, but it's effective. Like, he can make people miss. And again, we're talking about all the arm stuff. He makes a lot of cool throws and from a lot of different, you know, off-platform stuff. Like, it's all fun and there's great highlights. So I don't want to just talk about the stuff that everyone else was talking about. This guy's a really good athlete.
Well said, man, and I appreciate you. I could pick through these names all night with you, but I'm already like 2 minutes late, Jim. So thank you so much for coming on the program. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Enjoy the draft process.
Yep, we will. I am. That's Jim Nagy, executive producer of the Reese's Senior Bowl. And as you could hear with some of his breakdowns, that man is an NFL scout, ladies and gentlemen. 18 years, almost two decades of NFL scouting. So I take his words pretty seriously. I probably should have just let him evaluate Jaden Daniels as he'd done the work on him. But I just had to hear what he thought about Caleb Williams. It's due diligence, ladies and gentlemen. When we return, we will hear from Caleb Williams. I have selected some cuts that we will bring to you from the various mediums on which Caleb Williams was speaking today. It is next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Caleb Williams in the pocket. Williams serving. Williams is going to keep scrambling. Now try to run for it, and he'll get there. Touchdown. Williams gets away. Caleb Williams across his body and caught. They say touchdown.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Before we hear from Caleb Williams, let's take care of the people. From the 515, can Eberflus get any longer drawstrings on the sweats he wore at Caleb Williams's pro day? They're like 2 inches long. I thought everybody looked happy. The townspeople were there. The villagers were there, all on the sideline. Bears Village was there. The happy village of Hallis Hall made its way to the USC pro day. I thought that they all looked great. I did not notice the drawstrings necessarily on Matt Eberflus, but I would just like to say that they all look happy, and they should.
This has been a huge offseason for style for Matt Eberflus. It's like he did a 180.
Absolutely. Yeah, and apparently his wife is taking care of that, giving him the Flus makeover, and she's doing a great job. Just passed me right up. I cannot keep up with Matt Eberflus any longer. 815, hey, Grody, I'm curious. Your thoughts on the parallels between the careers of Justin Fields and Trey Lance to this point? Well, I would say the only parallel is that Trey Lance's first ever start came against the Bears at Soldier Field in 2022, and that's about it. That was the rain game. That was the rain game where the Bears won, was it 19-10, and Justin Fields was supermanning into the end zone. That's where it ends, ladies and gentlemen. Trey Lance has done nothing in the NFL. Still standing. He's with the Dallas Cowboys at this point, but I think he's only played in, I don't even think he's played in 10 NFL games in his career. He quote-unquote won the job from Jimmy Garoppolo, and then obviously that was the difference, I guess. The biggest difference is that San Francisco did not have the patience. As a matter of fact, to the point where they trusted Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy more than they trusted Trey Lance. So there's really no parallel between the two careers.
That was a good guess, too. Only 8 games for Trey Lance.
8 games. That's all he's played in the NFL. I do believe the trajectory of Justin Fields' career is slightly better than that of Trey Lance. Not the right comp. Let me take care of a caller, and then we're going to hear from Caleb Williams. Ray in Orland Park. Hello, Ray. You're on the score.
Hello, Mark. Good to talk to you.
You too.
Thank you. Just curious about a position that's kind of flown under the radar in this offseason. All the great additions, yes, Jalen Johnson resigning. I'm happy Bear fan. But what about the three technique? Justin Jones is gone. God bless him. He made a ton of money with Arizona. But last year, the three technique was all the rage. I remember Rob Marinelli detailed interviews and Javon Carter, draft him, not draft him. It's the key to the defense, and it seems to be in a neglected position right now. All that's there is Javon Dexter, and he didn't really prove anything last year. So help me out. What's going on with the three technique?
All right, Ray. I appreciate the call. It's a good one. It does feel quietly as if they're going to roll with those rookies. You mentioned Javon Dexter, who progressed better than Zach Pickens did last year. But, yeah, with Andrew Billings on that defensive line as well, and Montez Sweat, I think they're, you know, I'm thinking this through right now. Yeah, it's very possible that they are rolling with those two guys. I imagine they will still sign a guy or two. We'll see before we get to the start of the season. There'll probably be guys that will be signed and will be cut. So we'll see how they're planning on at least adding the depth, and maybe there's a move that I don't know about. Maybe there's somebody they're targeting in the third or fourth rounds of this draft, but it's a good question.
Three technique. It's something. It's a newer type of situation.
There's people listening that have not heard a word I said since the three technique came up, right? And you just, all you've been thinking about is the Grabber. You're like, I don't even know what Grody's talking about right now. Dexter and Pickens and Bill and all three tech. No, they're like, play the Grabber thing. The three technique. Play the Grabber thing.
Dump him.
I'm not going to lie to you. When I saw somebody wanted to discuss the three technique, just, you see, you get the little tease before I pull you on the air, just a couple of words, so I know what I'm getting myself into. And I was like, okay, standing by for somebody to possibly request that.
I knew exactly where that was going.
And he wasn't trying to do that. To the caller's credit, I guess, he was not trying to lead me in that direction. That was a very serious call that he made, and it was a good call. It is the kind of forgotten position so far this year, and relative to last year when a lot of people thought the Bears were going to choose Jalen Carter, and they did not. All right, let's hear a little bit from Caleb Williams today. He spoke in two different venues, at least that I have in front of me. He spoke with Colin Cowherd today. And also, he spoke to the media at large, a scrum, as we call it. So I have, like I said, I have selected, highlighted in yellow, I've selected some cuts that I would like to hear with all of you. I've heard some of this. I haven't heard all of this. So we'll just adventure into this together. Let's start right at the top here, Robbie, and talking about the pro day and just how he summarized his USC pro day, which went down today.
How did you think your pro day went, Caleb?
I think it went well. I missed a few deep balls. Didn't give the wide receivers enough, you know, air to adjust to the ball. And enough room for error, as we say. And then I think I missed one to B. Rice on the right side, a little bit behind him. And then I threw one to Austin on the right side in the flat, a little low. So I think I did well, and, you know, could be better.
If I was, like, spin control here right now, I'd be like, okay, well, that's all right. Yeah. And if I was being real, why'd you miss those throws? What happened?
The people who complain about the Notre Dame game are going to be like, well, that pro day, you know, the fingernails.
Yeah. I think that the problem that we have right now with Caleb Williams, or that Caleb Williams has, and he has set this precedent that whenever, maybe this explains why he didn't want to throw at the combine, that every time he throws, it becomes this spectacle where he is expected for it to be lights, camera, action, and just all these crazy throws. And the vibe that I got from everybody that I spoke to, I was not there, was that he was actually more conservative, a little bit more conservative out there. And maybe that's part of the game that he needs to show still, that he can take a series off where he doesn't have to be spectacular. And then he can, when needed, take what the defense gives you, all of that. Like, that might be the part that needs to be quelled a little bit at times in his game. I mean, I wouldn't want to manage that, though. I would not want to be the one to have to figure out how to temper down or organize a player in that regard. That's where you're really depending on coaching to get it right with Caleb Williams, to have the right mix of system and let this guy be the guy that I think he is. So, yeah, that's where you are really putting a lot on Shane Waldron specifically. A ton to develop Caleb Williams, because he's still going to need to be developed. All right, moving on. This is also Caleb Williams with Colin Cowherd. And talking about the Bears and if they were to draft him.
A friend of yours told me, he said, Caleb wants to go somewhere that cares. Chicago cares. They're loud. They got history. It's my favorite city in the country. It's big, the architecture, the opinions, the food. What do you envision that first year being like? Caleb Williams, you know, if you go to the Bears, like, what's the vision in your mind what it'll be like?
Yeah, I think it's going to another big city. I've heard that they love football, so if that's the place, I'm excited for that. The fans love football. It's one of the, you know, biggest things that I care about is a place that cares. You know, if that was the place, I'd be excited and you know, get ready to go win games is what I'm excited for. Most importantly, caring about football, whether it's the fans, the organization, my teammates, myself. Caring about ball games and winning ball games is the most important thing.
Yeah, it's hard to answer these questions when we're projecting, and everybody knows that he's probably going to the Bears, but he can't quite make it specific to the Bears, so he's got to generalize a little bit, and I do understand the question. You have to ask it, but yeah, that one actually just sounded awkward to me that, you know, I mean, we've all got to do this charade, or do you say charade? It happens. It's what's going on. And, you know, until somebody reports, until it is fed to Schefter or Rappaport or any of those guys that the Bears are indeed taking Caleb Williams, we have to leave a little bit of gray area.
Do people actually say charade? I don't think I've ever heard someone do that.
I believe I heard that on Family Guy at one point. It sounds like something Stewie would say. To charade or charade, perhaps a charade. I think that is the case. All right, we need to take a break. By the way, we're going to get boots back on the ground in Southern California in a little while. At 8:25, we're going to talk to Antonio Morales. He covers USC for The Athletic, so we will talk all things Caleb Williams with him. I've got a couple more Caleb Williams cuts I want to hear, and I want you guys to hear. Plus, I see a couple of you on hold as well. I'll take care of the people. 312-644-6767 is the number for your texts and calls. Again, 312-644-6767. You can find me on Twitter as well. And there's a little musical festival that's coming to Chicago this summer. And the headliners are out. Just a couple of things on Lala as well. Next on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
They're out with it. Lollapalooza lineup is out. And I was looking at it. Are there enough bands at Lollapalooza that I like or no? To justify going to Lollapalooza. I haven't really mapped the whole thing out yet or done the math, but I look at it as I put the following bands, which I will mention right now, as bands that none of these bands I have seen before, but they all go under a specific category for me, and that's, yeah, I'd see them. I'd see them if the circumstances were right. I wouldn't go out of my way to see them, but if somebody had a ticket, or maybe if they were all together, or if it was Lollapalooza, yeah, I'd go see them. So all of these bands fit under that curtain. The Killers, who you just heard coming in here, yeah, I'd see them. Actually, they're getting closer to a band that I would go out of my way to see. They just get, like, they're made now, and they've been for a while. They have withstood the test of time, too. So I got respect for I don't like everything they do. A lot of respect for the Killers now. Blink 182. I would totally see Blink 182, especially to find out if One More Time and I Miss You are the same songs. Think about that. Made about 20 years apart. I think that is, yeah, a Blink 182 would be fun, man. They would be fun to see. Tyler, the Creator. I'd totally see Tyler, the Creator. I'm not joking, Robbie. I would.
Look at you. Let's
go. Completely. Another band that I would see that at one point in time would have been borderline a band that I would pay and go see, and that was the Deftones. They've got kind of a spooky vibe about them. So the Deftones, I'd totally see the Deftones. And that's where I am right. Oh, Kesha. Kesha's there too. Oh my God. Kesha, man. She is to be respected. Kesha. She is immaculate. I would totally go see Kesha as well. So that's where I am right now. I'm still working on the math and the geography. Do I want to go for a day, a two, or not go at all? That's on the table as well.
You got to go all four. I'm going, and I want to see you front row at that Kesha concert. It's Grody.
You think I'm kidding, man? I definitely would like to. I mean, she kind of she falls under a category. At times, Kesha rocks. And I know it sounds funny. I'm like, that's a pop star and all that. But, like, she does rock at times. It's like Doja Cat. Doja Cat can rock. Like, that song, Where My Demons At Now, that's a rock song. That is, like, she is bringing heat in that song. So that's kind of the where I put some of these things. 312-644-6767. That's it for now on Lollapalooza. I will add to this per the time that I'm on the air tonight and in the future as I continue to map it out. I'd love to hear from you guys, too, maybe on the text line about bands, the obscure ones that you know I should check out or that I'd be interested in, other than the ones that we all know. Let me go to Don here. Oh, no, Harry. I want Harry. In Wisconsin. Harry.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You got it, Harry.
I enjoy your work, your segments, and your shows. And,
thank you.
And, yeah, you're great, Mark. You're just fantastic.
Oh, thanks, Harry.
The Score is lucky to have you.
Oh,
absolutely.
Go on. Yeah.
And, yeah. And so now I'm going to go
more
into the Caleb Williams subject. And
yes.
I think we may happen to agree on this one, too. But what I want to suggest is it's just terrific irony. I've lived in this area my entire life. I'm a Cowboys fan. I apologize, but the Bears are number two for me. I'm from Glenview, etc. I've seen the Bears going back. And this is a golden opportunity for the team that's never in my lifetime had a good quarterback. Jim McMahon was smart, but he was brittle.
He was brittle. Yeah, he was
right.
He was a very good quarterback. But you're right, you have to add in the breakability part for Jim McMahon.
Right.
That's part of the evaluation.
And my fandom, I've seen it. It's not a brag, but Dak is very good, but they love to criticize him. Tony the same. Aikman the same. Roger Staubach, I'll stop. Okay?
Yeah. Yep.
What I see here is terrific irony. The team that's been devoid of a quarterback my entire life, has the opportunity to take not just the best available quarterback in the draft, but a guy who is suggested by the experts, in quotes, to be a cut or several cuts above what the normal number one quarterback to be is. This guy is special. And what the terrific irony is, a significant percentage of Bears fans reject the possibility of this quarterback. It's insane. It's perfect irony. I've long thought, and I'm rambling, but thought relative to, thanks for giving me the time, Mark.
Sure, Harry.
Relative to Caleb Williams. Sure. He's a very nice person. He's a terrific athlete. I've never seen a quarterback who could run with the ball like him. I think Jackson in Baltimore pales by comparison. That's how fantastic Justin Fields is at running with the ball. However, we have to look reality in the eye.
Yes.
He has almost a one-to-one quarterback touchdown-to-interception ratio, 40-30. Average in the NFL is 2-1. Good is 3-1. 1-1 is awful. He has an 83 quarterback rating in his career.
Mm-hmm.
83 is terrible.
Yeah,
90
that's,
is
that's
average.
That's perspective and that's reality. And Harry, I do have to let you go, but thank you for the call. It was a really good one. Thank you. There goes Harry. Look, I said this the other day, and this probably doesn't really make sense because it's kind of like a leap of faith, almost. Maybe the Bears are getting closer. Because I look at it, I go back to when I talk about getting close. I start with Jay Cutler. Got close there, man. You were close to having a quarterback with Jay Cutler. He did not live up to expectations. He just didn't. But that was a big swing. Then the next really big swing was Mitch Trubisky, right? Moving up in the draft to take him second overall. And there was a lot of promise, a lot of hope. There were some good moments, but mostly underwhelming. And then you move on to Justin Fields, who had one of the most electric years we've ever seen the Bears have in 2022 when he did all that with his legs. Like, you're getting, it feels like the swings keep coming, even though they're intermittent. And it feels like it's getting closer. So if you can join that way of thinking, you know, coming to Caleb Williams, and I got the caller's point. It's a great point. It's right here before you, and there's a lot of people rejecting it. Some of it is people being protective over Justin Fields. And I don't want to get mad at those people, to be honest with you, because I understand. Like, he's your guy. That was your guy. All right, I got to shut up. More coming up. I'm Mark Grody, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.